In these wild and weird and wicked times, the work of the preacher is being rethought and revamped and reexamined. Some think his main business, according to Ephesians 4:12, is to be the equipper of the laymen for their ministry. And he's being pushed away from the center of the platform to the wings in favor of celebrities and experts and entertainers. But the book still says, how shall they hear without a preacher? What kind of preaching do we need? It's a good thing for God's people to make up their minds about what, not just what kind they like, but what kind we need. Well, we need the same kind we've always needed. Nothing important has changed. Just because we've split the atom and gone to the moon doesn't mean we need a new kind of preaching. Now, we have a new kind in some quarters, but we don't need it. There's a lot of cheap preaching going around today. I heard of a preacher back in the days when haircuts were 50 cents a piece, and he had a barber in the crowd who said, I'll take care of you, I'll be your barber, and I'll just take it out in preaching. Preacher said, I'll have you know I don't preach any 50 cent sermons. He said, that's all right, I'll come several times. We got a lot of that. What kind of preaching do we need? We need anointed preaching. I used to hear a lot about unction. That's a word I haven't heard much of lately. Unguent, ointment. This divine unction is not sold over any counter. Simon Magus tried to buy it, but it's not for sale. It's not compounded by any apothecary. It's not put together by chemistry. A preacher may be wrapped in all the robes of learning, study walls decked with diplomas, his home filled with travel souvenirs from many lands. He may wear all the trappings of ecclesiastical prestige and pageantry, but he cannot function without unction. And if he tries, he'll spend his time taxiing down to the runway and never take off. Now, John Wesley demonstrated that a long time ago. He started out equipped with some of the most formidable qualifications for a preacher. He was an Oxford man. He was a man of prayer. His father, grandfather and great-grandfather were all preachers. His mother, one of the godliest women who ever lived. He himself was a missionary, but not ready to preach. Some years ago, when I went out to Dallas to the evangelistic conference and spoke over at Southwestern, I got an invitation by some means or other to SMU to talk to the preacher boys. And I'd prepared a sermon on John Wesley, mostly, and wondered why, since I was going to a Baptist conference. But that's where I got to use my Methodist sermon. And I said, many a pre-Aldersgate Wesley today starts out to convert the Indians without ever having been converted himself. In Exodus 30, we're told about three restrictions on the anointing oil for the priests. Upon man's flesh it shall not be poured. God does not anoint old Adam for his service. Whoso compounds any like it, don't imitate it. Or whosoever puts any of it on a stranger shall be cut off from his people. We ought to remember those restrictions with regard to the work of the Spirit today. Then the preaching ought to be authoritative. Some time ago I heard one of our preachers say we must get away from authoritarian preaching. I think we need to get back to it. We've already gotten away from it. Jesus taught us having authority, not as the scribes. And these days, when there's no king in Israel and every man does what's right in his own eyes, authority goes out and anarchy comes in when it does. Jesus met the devil not in his own power, have you noticed that? Not in his own name, but with the scriptures. It is written, it is written, it is written. If he could defeat the devil with three verses out of Deuteronomy, we ought to be able to defeat him with the whole Bible. Don't be ashamed of the old time faith. There isn't anything newer. We have a New Testament about a new and living way entered by the new birth that makes new creatures of us with a new name and a new song, walking in newness of life, living by a new commandment, headed for a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. And almost the last word in the New Testament is, behold, I make all things new. No wonder the gospel's good news, N for north and E for east and W for west and S for south. Good news. For all directions, old time, new time, any time, all the time. God's not running an antique shop. This is new. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, for some years, we had the expression, tell it like it is. But you can't preach it like it is if you don't believe it like it was. If you don't believe that the Bible is God-breathed and Jesus virgin-born, that he died for our sins and rose bodily from the grave, then you can't preach it like it is, for that's the way it was, and the way it was, it still is. You can't preach Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today if you don't believe in what he was yesterday, for what he was then he is now. My wife was a Quaker. Quakers are wonderful people. They got their name from the fact that they used to shake. They were moved by what they believed. They were shook up by what they believed. I know a lot of folks today that are not shaken by what they believe, but they're shaky about what they believe. It's almost the unpardonable sin to be dogmatic anymore. I go to church, I don't want to hear an expert in the art of almost saying something. I want somebody who knows what he's talking about. I don't want to come away feeling like I've been to dinner where they didn't serve anything but Cool Whip. We're not supposed to be apologetic with an inferiority complex in the presence of the New Left and the hippies and the jet set. One of our great black preachers said, I don't belong to the right wing nor the left wing. They're both flapping on the same old bird. And that's the way I feel about it. If anybody's embarrassed, let it be the other crowd. William Jennings Bryan won a nomination as candidate for president by a great speech in which he said, the humblest citizen of the land, when clad in the armor of a righteous cause, is stronger than all the hosts of error. There's another of our black preachers said today, you don't have to be in who's who to know what's what. And you certainly don't. The humblest man can know if he sticks to the book. We don't have to call in TV celebrities and athletic personalities to put the gospel over. We're trying to fix up something that doesn't need fixing up. You might as well gild the lily and paint the sunset. Hobnob with Sodom, we're told, and get chummy with Gomorrah, and visit the